spiritual discipline to do and are hard to do at times. I think the one we're going to talk about today is hard to do. But we're going to be talking about one of these this morning. I was thinking about where we are 7 months later, and we're still in the midst of the COVID pandemic. I didn't think it would be going 7 months. Maybe you knew that it was going to be that long, and it's still going strong. It's not just going, it's positive tests are up, countries around them are closing, shutting back down. So it's a difficult time. There's social unrest in our country, protest in various. An election that's emotionally charged and contentious is constantly before us. We see it, we hear about it, we get phone calls, we get mailings, everyone telling us what we should do. And all these things bring a lot of stress into our lives. They swirl around us. It's like being in the middle of a whirlwind with all these things coming at us one after another. And it just seems to be so difficult. But even as all this continues for us, and we say, yeah, these are hard times. Yes, people are feeling isolated. People are feeling lonely. People are afraid. People got to wear masks. People got to social distance. Include in our time a pause to remember some other people in the world. And today is the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. And so, even though there's all these other things going on in our lives, in our world, we're going to join with Christians around the world today. We're going to link up with them. We're going to join our hearts with them. We're going to be in solidarity with them as we pray today, a little bit this morning, but today is this afternoon as well at 6 o'clock, for those believers who are suffering for Christ. Now, we don't see a lot. We see some of it here. We do see some of it, and we hear some of it on the news. But we don't hardly get a glimpse at all of what's really going on in the world and in certain countries where Christians are persecuted regularly and consistently, and they have to live always with the fear of knowing because of their faith in Jesus. The Bible calls us to devote ourselves to prayer. And this includes prayer for the persecuted church, and we will. But we also want to talk this morning about this discipline of prayer in the larger picture of praying for the persecuted church. The scriptures tell us to be faithful and to continue steadfastly in prayer. And in spite of that clear teaching from scripture, and the teaching is very clear, no one can dispute it. No one can say that's not what it means. No one can say, well, God's message from the scriptures that comes to us. Many Christians have little or no prayer life. That's the reality of it. For some, prayer life is reduced to moments of crises, kind of like emergency calls to heaven. I pray when I'm in trouble, serious trouble, trouble I can't get out of, or for there's trouble of someone I know, a problem. And that's when I pray. But beyond that, I really don't pray much. I don't have any need to pray. I pray when things are desperate. I believe it is, as the Christian writer Dallas Willard had said in his book, The Spirit of the Disciplines, the open secret of many Bible-believing churches are actually doing what they're talking about. So Dallas Willard, he's gone, he's passed on to the Lord now, but he is saying that, yeah, people talk about prayer, people agree with prayer, but when the truth be told, not many people are really praying in any more than just a emergency sort of way. But the good news is, it doesn't have to be this way. Every Christian can have a meaningful prayer life. And so what I want to do today is to encourage you in regard to your individual relationship with God, which comes in a large way through prayer, our prayer time meeting with God is a big part of building our relationship with Him. And I want to consider friendship. And it is God's invitation to spend time with Him. But not just spend time with God, but specifically to spend time with God alone. This idea of solitude, getting alone with God. So in your Bible, if you want to turn there, Mark chapter 1, verses 32 to 39 is what we're going to be looking at. And this is one of these spiritual truths that all of us need to come back to from time to time. Because we can begin and follow for a while, but then it's so easy to get lax, to kind of fall off the track and kind of see our prayer life just kind of crawl to a stop and become very, and that would be a great tragedy because prayer is such a wonderful gift that the Lord has given us. And it is a discipline that the Lord wants us to practice. I was thinking that prayer has many, many enemies, a lot of enemies. Two of the biggest enemies are busyness. Well, I just don't have time to pray. I feel like that sometimes. And I have to stop and say to myself, "That what a ridiculous thought that is. That is so inane. That does not make any sense at all. I'm too busy to pray." But that's one of the enemies. The other one is the major enemy is doubt. The feeling that, well, I don't really know if it's going to do any good, prays for me. But I don't know if my prayers are going to do any good. And I don't maybe even believe that God hears my prayers. So doubt comes into a person's mind and heart. And pretty soon they're not praying at all because they don't believe that God hears our prayers. But in Mark chapter 1, what's going on is Jesus is in the northern part of the land of Israel, up in the Galilee region, up by the Sea of Galilee in a town called Capernaum. And it's right up there, right near the top or the northern edge of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus lived there for some time. This was a sort of base of operations, Simon Peter and his brother Andrew. At this point, Jesus has been teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. The people are amazed at his teachings, and he's even cast out a demon there. And because of this, Mark tells us that his fame has spread throughout the region of Galilee, through the whole northern region. People are hearing about Jesus. His teaching is different. It's powerful. It's life-giving. His powers. He does healings. He casts out demons. People who are blind are able to see. And all this talk about him is spreading. In verses 29 to 31, Jesus goes to the home of Simon Peter and Andrew. And there, Simon's mother-in-law is there, and she has a fever. Jesus goes there, and he heals her. It's interesting, fevers that they were given as a sort of punishment in a sense, and only God could relieve that, take away the fever. So anyway, Jesus goes, he heals Simon's mother-in-law. And then we read in verse 32 these verses here. It says that. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak. He parted and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also. For that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and casting out demons. So we see this story I think it's interesting, and you get this image of the whole city coming up and coming to the door, just wanting to get in to see Jesus. They're all surrounding his home there where he's staying, Peter's home, and to be helped by him. But then in verse 35, he does something. He gets up early in the morning, and he goes off to pray. Now, it just says that. It doesn't give us any explanation of what he was praying for or anything like that. It just tells us that. But it's an important point. Jesus is praying. He goes off by himself. Now, we can also pray with others, and there's nothing wrong with that. But in this case, Jesus goes off to a lonely place or a solitary place, a desolate place, a place where no one else is. And there he prays. Now, the point here, the main point, really two main points. The main point, one, is Jesus took time to pray. It's right there in the text. Second main point is that we need to take time to pray. Jesus withdrew from the people to be alone with his Father. That's exactly what he's doing. He was willing to sacrifice for this time alone with his Father. He gets up very early in the morning. It's still dark. Now, maybe that's not a great sacrifice. A couple hours sleep that the disciples were enjoying. But he is willing to give that up in order to meet with his Heavenly Father. Now, I don't think you necessarily have to get up while it's dark. But the important point here is, the thing you want to note, the thing you want to take home is that he took time to this place. So for us, what we need with the message, one of the things is that we should think about that and our own time with God, because it's going to be important to plan it and guard it. If you don't anticipate doing it, you won't. If you don't guard it, it's going to be taken away from you. So you have to plan it and guard it. But solitude itself is important for several reasons. Let me just name a few of them here for you. The idea of being alone, withdrawing back. Okay? Now, you don't have to physically withdraw necessarily, but it does involve being in a place where you are away from other people. So one of the reasons it's so helpful is it allows us in. The phone's not ringing. The TV's not on. Someone's not coming to the door. You're away from all of that. It frees us to break with negative ingrained behaviors, patterns that are negative in our life. This helps us by doing something different, by getting away from the normal routines for a while. It also provides perspective to honestly reflect on ourselves. And that's one thing you'll find if you spend time alone with God. You'll be able to see yourself more clearly. It allows us to hear from God, to hear God's still small voice. Maybe it's been a long time since you've heard that. Maybe you've never been able in a place to hear it. And it permits us to freely think what anyone else is going to think if you say that. It allows us to be completely honest with our feelings, with our frustrations, with our concerns, with our thoughts before God. And that's why the idea of solitude is so important. Now, we know this is something Jesus did on a regular basis, okay? He withdrew. And we see this throughout the Gospels. We see Jesus going off to pray. Five chapters later, in Mark 6, after feeding the 5,000, we read these words. Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. So this is fascinating what he does here. He says to the disciples, you guys go. Okay, it's time for you to go home. You need to go. We've ministered. Okay, go ahead and go home. I am now going to a solitary place to pray. I'm going to be with the Father. I'm going to commune with Him. I'm going to spend time in His presence alone, away from the disciples, which are great. It's great spending time with you guys, Jesus would say. But you know, enough, okay? Crowd, the ministry, it's great. I'm glad, you know, we had healings. I shared with you God's truth. But you know, now it's time for you to go. And I need to be alone with God. That's what Jesus is doing here. That's what we see here. He's not being rude. This is simply a priority for him. He makes this a priority in his life. And Luke notes that this was Jesus' regular practice in Luke 5. Now even more, the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed and pray. Some translations say he would often withdraw. Because of the verb that he would do this tells us it's an ongoing practice. It wasn't something he just did rarely. It was something he did as a regular practice. And so even as the opportunity for ministry grew and more people came to him, Jesus maintained this discipline of withdrawing away from people to make a time to pray. He did this. And it's important that you see this. Because by his practice, Jesus gives us an example to follow. Unless you are spiritually better off than Jesus, and you don't need to do this. Okay? If you're spiritually stronger than you, but of course none of us are. This shows us how much we need to follow in this practice. So we do need to take time to pray. We need the opportunity to speak with God, and this opportunity is open to all Christians, every single one of us. Every one of us can have a consistent time of meeting with God. There's only one prerequisite. There's only one prerequisite, and that is you have to be a Christian. Because by receiving Christ as your Savior, you have peace with God. And by having God and Christ in your life, you can approach the throne of grace boldly because you come in the name of Jesus with your sins forgiven. You now have access to the Christian. The Bible makes this really clear that as Christians, we can come to Him in our time of need. We can come to Him. We can approach Him. And this is why it's open to anyone. So whether you've been a Christian 80 years or you've been a Christian just a few days, you can pray to God. You can go and be with your Heavenly Father. So this is the necessary basis upon which this relationship can be built with God. It is that we have believed in Him. And once we become a child of God, He welcomes us into His presence. He welcomes us. He gladly receives us. And through the Holy Spirit, which we have as believers, we can experience a deep, satisfying relationship with the living God. Yes, you can. You absolutely can. You can experience a deep, satisfying relationship with the living God. And it's an amazing thought. Think about that. Think about the fact that the Creator of the whole meet with you and spend time hearing your words and providing for you through your prayers. Absolutely astounding. How would we not want to take advantage of that if we understood who it is we are meeting with? But that's who it is. It's God Almighty, and He is there for us. And so, through time alone in prayer, there's a number of wonderful things that happen. And I'm just going to read some of these for you. We're going to have communion in just a few minutes and do something else. But I want you to keep these in mind. When we are alone with God in prayer, just some of the things. Now, this isn't all of them, but some of the things. We can find encouragement. Is anyone in trouble? Let him pray. Is there trouble in your life? Pray. Can find encouragement. Pray. The Bible's filled with illustrations of this, of people finding encouragement and strengthening themselves by meeting with the Lord in prayer. We gain strength for the challenges and temptations that face us. Paul speaks of this in Ephesians 3. One of the reasons people can constantly or consistently fall into temptation is because they never have built up any spiritual strength before. They're not praying. They're not in the Word of God. They're not in church. And so temptation comes and they fall over like a dead leaf. They just, boom, they're off. They're done. Because they have no spiritual strength. But as we pray and spend time with God, we can be strengthened. I think Jesus found strength in his times with God. We can receive wisdom from God and discern his will for us. James chapter 1, to believe that he will. So there we can receive guidance from God. Discern his will for us. This is what he says in his word. If when we spend time with him. And something else that is we see in Jesus. We see in Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. We see that when we spend time with God, we are able to submit our will to him. Not find a way around the will of God. Not find a shortcut. Not find an escape or an excuse. But to find the ability to submit ourselves to the will of God and do those things God wants us to do, but which are difficult. Like, for instance, forgiveness. Forgiving someone. Man, I can't forgive that person. I find it so hard. One of the ways you can find the strength to forgive that person is to spend time in God with prayer. Or to witness another. Find strength for that. It's to submit your will to him. And that's what we see Jesus doing in Gethsemane. Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me. But nevertheless, your will be done. He goes to pray. He prays. He gets up and he's ready to face the cross. He's ready. God strengthened him in that time. But if we do not pray regularly, it is likely that we're operating on our own strength and are missing what God has for us, missing a lot of what God has for us. So what is involved in getting alone with God? What am I talking about? Well, if you were ever involved in the Navigators, you would refer to this as a quiet time. Or a devotional time, evangelicals might say. All we're talking about is simply setting aside and guarding a regular time to spend alone with God. That's it. It's really simple. And as I said, if you don't set aside a time, you won't have the time. Also, I would say to married couples who are Christians that you need to accommodate this time for your spouse. You need to accommodate it and make room for it. So that may mean taking the kids and going somewhere, doing something different, accommodating it, allowing it to happen for each other of you. Because sometimes it's hard, especially if there's small children, you know. Having a particular place can also add to the significance and importance of this time. I go to my office. Whatever works for you, you know, is important. But the key is to not let that be taken away from you. You may want to begin with some scripture reading. We're not talking about Bible study as such, but what we're talking about is you may want to read some scripture as a help to begin your time of prayer with God. And just meditate on something in the Word. You want to ask God for perseverance as this practice is developed because it's easy to quit. It's very easy to give up. Well, Pastor, I tried that, but it didn't work, so I quit. Well, how long did you try for? Well, I tried for 2 days. Oh, okay. All right. Well, listen, this is important in your spiritual life. It really is. And I would encourage you to try again. And to set a time and think about a place where you're going to go and let your spouse or your kids know you're just going to be, you're doing something important for you and you need to do it. Accountable to. You share with. Have you been praying? How's your prayer life? And you can be honest with them. That's really important as well. But then all we're doing is simply praying from our heart to the Lord. We're confessing our sins to Him. We're acknowledging who God is, praising Him for His power, His patience, His love. We're thanking Him for the goodness He has shown in our own life. We're speaking to God of our struggles, our concerns, our needs. And we're praying for others. We're interceding for those people we really care about, usually. Now, we can intercede for people we don't know too well, but mostly we intercede for those who are really, really close to us. Our family members, our children. Yeah, we pray for them because we love them. We care so much about them. We want God to be in their lives. We want them to follow the Lord. We want them to be faithful. We want them to be encouraged. We want them to be making good choices. And so it's natural to pray for them. So I'm just presenting this to you. I can't make you do it. It's a discipline. It's not easy. If it was easy, everyone would do it. I wouldn't have to preach on this. But it's not easy. But it's important. It's vitally important. Because if you don't meet with God regularly, your spiritual life is just going to come to a place where it just stops. And it's not advancing. And you're not growing. And it's just there. Okay, yeah, I do the things. But there's no spiritual vitality in my life. God is not exciting to me, not interesting. This consistent practice is a great way to keep that from entering into and infiltrating into your life. Now, one particular need we are to pray for is those, as I mentioned earlier, those who are suffering for their faith in Christ. In Hebrews 13:3, it says, "Remember those who are in prison, as though you were in prison with them, and remember those who are mistreated." And he's talking about those who are mistreated because they're Christians. And we're going to take 3 minutes here and view a short story just before we go to the Lord's Supper this morning. And we can't pray for everyone who's persecuted in this world. We're going to pray for some people and countries and Christians this afternoon at 6. But here's one person that causes us to remember that while, yes, we have our problems here, there are people, there are brothers and sisters in this world really facing hard Jesus Christ. And I will not deny Him. That's all they're doing. So if we could, let's start the video. We may need to turn down some of the front lights here. It's only a few minutes.